94.
A radio.com station.
WSCR
and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! Podsednik hits one to deep right center field. Back at the wall. This ball is gone. Podsednik goes deep. His second home run of the postseason. And the White Sox win it 7-6.
Years ago today,
I don't think it happens.
It happened.
But wow. Most of the mainstream sports media doesn't acknowledge that any of that occurred.
Seems longer.
Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing, and most of all, David,
thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Dustin for being Dustin. Kevbo, look at you remembering 13 years later. Can't believe you can still remember it.
Can't remember what happened 13 days ago, but yeah. You tell me what happened. That's, 13
that stands
years
out.
Ago.
And, of course, Ray doing God's work for all of us. And then now is our fun time to welcome in Dan and Connor.
Happy morning, guys.
Fun time.
Can I read this to you?
Of course.
I haven't gotten to this, and it was one of the things I really wanted to get to. This is from USA Today. Chicago's Mitchell Trubisky amazingly covered 71.9 yards on his circuitous 8-yard TD run in the first quarter per the NFL's next-gen stats. It was the most distance covered on a run that gained fewer than 50 yards this season and the most covered by a quarterback this year. Isn't that awesome? Because I was watching him, and I was thinking, like, how far is he going? I mean, because he did the little loop and then he had to come all the way across the field. 71.9 yards he ran in order to score an 8-yard touchdown.
And he walked the last six.
Yeah.
I mean, he just kind of waltzed right in for the last six. It was awesome.
He's really fast.
He is fast. He's faster than people realize.
He is fast. And what he does is he kind of chops his stride where the defender's like, oh, he's doing the quarterback thing. And then he just leaves. And the guy, the defender's just standing there.
The great one was when he cut, this is two games ago, right? When he cut between the two safeties and he tripped and fell, and he got up and he was
mad. Yeah,
because
he thought he was going to break into the open.
He knew he was going to break into. He was.
Right.
He was going to outrun him for a touchdown. That was really cool. And the other one was obviously stopping on the sideline. And then hey,
everyone thought he was going out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to the open field.
Isn't there a famous NFL Films Fran Tarkenton scramble where it's like one side of the field and the other side of the field? He ends up gaining like 6 yards.
That was the reference Tom Thayer made on Sunday, was to Fran Tarkenton. And I felt like, boy, you have to be a certain age to remember Fran Tarkenton, but it was a good comparison.
Yeah, because Tarkenton was not the kind of athlete, but a wily scrambler and his awareness of space and the proprioception relative to other defenders, but he wasn't trying to take off and bust. He was always just trying to.
He was too small to do that.
And keep a play going. He was still waiting for Ahmad Rashad or Sammy White or one of these guys to come open.
Did you ever talk to Fran?
Yeah.
Oh, he's.
I think I have. Yeah.
It's what's so much fun about it. It's the only time I've called him a few different times, but mainly it's like, hey, you know, want to know what it's like being a loser? What happens when you keep losing? And he gets so, like, the minute you start going down any road, he's like, why the hell are you calling me about that?
Right.
I was a winner. I don't know. Like, he gets so defensive about losing 4 Super Bowls. It's so much fun. I almost started
just to rile him up.
I just wanted to call him up and give him a hard time about it.
You could ask him about being a host of That's Incredible, too.
Yeah, right.
He was. Yeah, he was like a
Monday
national
Night
media
football
figure.
Guy.
Yes.
He was in the booth with Monday Night Football. And That's Incredible. That was a great show.
Wait, it was a
underrated
game
show.
As a kid, no, That's Incredible was not a game show.
Yeah,
oh, Connor.
This is, beyond me.
You don't remember
the,
yeah.
Of course you know. I do not have that in the lexicon. Okay.
Did you watch it, Mullen?
Whiteboard, that for me.
It was too.
It's not a weepy show, so you might like it.
It was too weepy for me.
No, okay. It wasn't.
Yeah, I caught this. You were dealing with Mully's feelings for a solid segment today.
This Is Us. I love that show.
No, that This Is Us.
No, they were talking about This Is Us. I show up at work the other day, and the two of them are like, mooning, you know, staring moon eyes at each other, talking
they're
about
mooning each other.
Yeah, they're mooning each other.
Mooning each other.
My wife watches This Is Us.
Oh my God, these two, Dustin of all people, and David, and they're like comparing it to what was the show?
Brothers and Sisters.
Okay, never saw that one either. And it was just like the two grown men.
Listen, you disqualified yourself when you said you were at the Rudy game and you weren't at the Rudy game.
You know
what?
Okay. I was texted.
Life is difficult enough without dealing with the difficult lives of pretend people.
I was at the Rudy game.
You were?
I was. Okay. We just weren't. It was a different game. I saw the newspaper article. I've totally melted two memories together. So I was at the Rudy game.
Okay.
To clarify. Thank God.
So anyway, Connor, the show That's Incredible was an ABC primetime show.
Right.
It was a variety show that showcased things that were cool that you had never seen before.
It was like Guinness Book of World Records on television.
It was like, watch this guy do this.
Yes. All right.
It wasn't quite
I'm going to juggle six bowling pins plates at once. Spin.
Right. Or, exactly. Or the boy with the hair on his face. Remember that? There was a kid who was born with a disorder. Some of it was freak show. There was a freak show aspect to it. There was a Guinness aspect to it. Do you remember?
I'm sorry, I watched it, but I fell asleep.
Was his name the Yogi Kudu? The man, this Indian man that could fold himself into a glass box.
What?
I don't think I'm making this up. Somebody fact check me on this one. He was like the amazing Yogi Kudu. And they had a glass box, and he could fold his body into it.
Did he have the box made, or was it just a box that existed? I'm like, I'm going to get in that box.
And what's your name? And then Joe Theismann's wife was one of the hosts, too, right?
Kathy...
Joanne Starbuck?
Was it Joanne Starbuck?
Terry Bradshaw's
wife. Incredible.
I don't remember...
Kathy
Lee Rigby?
They call her Pocahontas.
No, it's not Kathy Rigby. Kathy Lee something.
He did it 84. Different?
No. They're all very good football
Lee
players.
Kathy Lee Crosby. John Davidson.
Yes.
And Fran Tarkenton.
John Davidson had a perpetual tan. Guy was so tan all the time.
I know a guy like that.
This is so weird that Connor, who had no idea what you're talking about, is now...
He has a Google machine.
He's got the Google machine.
Yeah,
he's
I just used the Millennium machine.
And then they had,
I got it. We're good to go.
They also had a magician on there, a close-up magician named Don Allen, who used to play the Abbey up in Lake Geneva. Every Christmas, you sit around a table. There's like 10 people at a table do close-up magic. And I always thought this guy's the best magician I've ever seen. He shows up on That's Incredible. I'm like, that's the guy from the Abbey.
There was a spinoff. Yeah. Can you name the spinoff?
That sucks.
Those Amazing Animals, hosted by Burgess Meredith, Priscilla Presley, who gets her second mention in the last hour
that's
on this
good.
Nation.
She's family.
And she is
Jim
family in my
Stafford,
mind.
Wait, Burgess? Meredith?
Burgess Meredith hosted
have
this show.
Dogs are wrecking
have
machine.
You, have you ever heard? Have you ever heard? Who's the guy?
Bomb.
Sly Stallone, right?
Yeah.
Who was the act? Michael Rapaport? Is that the guy's name? He's like an actor. He was in a movie
Brian
with Sly
Scalabrini
Stallone.
Look-alike.
Yes, he was in a movie with Sly Stallone. And apparently, all he did was ask him questions about Rocky. He loved all the Rocky movies.
Sure, sounds right.
And he'd be like,
"That's all I would do."
And so Sly told him that Burgess Meredith was apparently like a very accomplished ladies' man.
Oh, famously,
like unbelievably,
swordsman.
Exactly.
Mick was a ladies' man.
Yeah, you know, like, Rocky, you need a manager. He apparently was.
Famously so.
Yes.
Like those scenes.
That is the most bizarre thing. Like the penguin. The idea of the penguin, like, picking up any starlet he wanted, it just blows my mind.
Well, he was George in Of Mice and Men.
Yes, he was.
And I believe he was also in In Cold Blood.
Was he in Cold Blood?
Was that I believe it was Burgess.
I thought that was Beretta and
You're right. It was Robert Blake.
Robert Blake was in that. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was definitely Of Mice and Men. There were several other roles for him. And then in Grumpy Old Men, there are the outtakes, all those scenes of him being ribald and risque. Yeah, that was his rep.
What do you got for us, Connor? You check it out. Are we right?
Information boy.
I don't know.
Those are amazing animals.
All I can think about is apparently those Amazing Animals was hosted by Burgess Meredith, and a frequent guest was Jacques Cousteau.
Oh,
so I can only imagine Jacques the conversations Cousteau. The two of them had with each other about God knows what.
I used to love Jacques Cousteau. I used to love, you know.
Oh, yeah. He
shot in the plains of the Serengeti. Like, they'd take down some animal, and then they'd run over. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was like.
And then they'd be underwater.
On PBS, you'd watch a Bob Ross in the morning, and then A Frugal Gourmet somewhere,
My
and then
guy.
There was I loved that show.
Too
and then
bad he's a child molester.
On PBS,
really
you grew up watching PBS, Connor?
Sesame Who? Street was on PBS for me
what
when,
you
I, was, when I was very young.
PBS?
Yeah.
What about it?
He said he grew up watching it.
Oh. Okay.
That was my Saturday afternoons. We'd watch Bill Alexander paint, who was sort of like Bob Ross, but he was just sort of an angry Eastern European guy. Now we use the mighty brush, and he would make
that's
things.
That's a hard life.
Fellas, we got something here in this painting show. We just needed to be less angry.
It would be the Frugal Gourmet. Occasionally, Jacques Pepin would come out and show you something with a whole bulb of garlic. And then, you know, then you'd make my parents would, the sitter would show up, my parents would leave, and I'd eat my Stouffer's lasagna. And then it was, what, the Muppet Show, Love Boat.
Oh, the Muppet Show.
And
oh, the
Fantasy Island.
Oh yeah,
welcome and maybe to Fantasy Saturday Night Live. If you were allowed,
that was
to
a good Saturday night, wasn't it? That was like the ideal Saturday night.
Yeah, play a little floor hockey in there. Maybe there's a Blackhawks game on the radio. You listen to Pat Foley talk about Tom Lysiak, and you go to bed. It was an easy life.
What a childhood!
Then. Right,
Love Boat was not a show that Molly watched because he might have gotten a little weepy.
I'm sorry, between Gopher and Doc was just so.
I know. Isaac, he was the man.
He's an aging Ann Taylor, found love by the end. Molly's just a pool.
I don't know. How did the two of you beeping over a TV show end up with me breaking down? How did that happen?
I don't know.
That's
a true story.
This is Us fans.
You saw it. You got back from the Rudy game and cried over a
Did
love
you ever cry
episode.
During Survivor? I know you and I also.
Oh, yeah.
No, I've never cried. I don't. I very rarely cry, despite what you're implying here. Although I find as I get older that I'm much more sentimental.
You get a little more weepy?
Not weepy, I wouldn't say.
Close to tears?
But, you know, there's something about the kids that really, you know, worked
Parenting brings that out.
Yes. I've always been. I cry ridiculous things. Like, there are like banking commercials that make me cry. It does not take
car
much.
Commercials. It Those just, car commercials just, about the, where you look at the kid and the kid's 18, God. All of a sudden the kid's like 5 years old in the behind the wheel and like remembering all those things.
Yeah, I've said it before. The Budding Lunch Meats commercial with the hockey kid.
That is
like,
fantastic.
You know, he's tying his skates and then it's like he doesn't need you to tie the skates anymore. I'm a wreck.
Stop!
I love
stop,
that
stop,
corned beef too. I love that stuff.
Oh, I eat a ton of it, and every time I mention it, they send me a bunch of it.
Oh, lasagna.
It's not by design.
I'm starving. Just, I don't know about you guys. I haven't eaten since 4. So I'm stopped talking about
you
food.
You ate at 4?
I ate, well, actually earlier than that. A little
really?
Earlier
what
than
do
that.
You, what do you eat?
A cereal.
Really? I would imagine the, you know, daisies and all the other stuff you put in the shake.
Stop
the whole
it.
Protein
Stop
shake.
It.
Oh, yeah, daisies, yeah, you know,
all the health food and all the...
We had a cereal fight at home.
Pilates and then...
I made the mistake of letting my kid, like, after hockey come with his... Like, I need my chocolate milk, get your protein, so whatever. So,
right,
so he grabs... It's like when he was, you know, when he's 3, you know, they put things in the cart and you have to look at the cart to see what the toddlers have thrown in there. As we're walking... He grabs a box of Captain Crunch Crunch Berries, like the mega ultra super size. He's like, it's on sale.
The ones that are terrible for you?
I love Captain Crunch Crunch Berries, but I keep it there. So I didn't want to fight him on it. I'm like, fine, whatever. Just get it. And in 2 days, that entire box was gone. and I look at him like, dude, what the hell? And he says, it wasn't me. And I know it's not my daughter because type 1 diabetes and so entire box of Captain Crunch probably they don't have enough insulin for that.
You'd know.
And then I notice I get a text from my wife. Are you going to the store today? Yes.
Get some Captain Crunch.
Yeah, please get Captain Crunch.
Like, busted.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
There's the Captain Crunch gremlin. And I said no because she was eating it for dinner. And I said, that's not dinner.
She's
an unbelievably healthy eater. And I'm like,
it is if you're 12.
It's so good, I forget
where I was, and this is a couple of years ago, but I had a peanut butter and fluff sandwich.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Fluffernutter.
Oh, Fluffernutter?
Yes.
The
it
best.
Was like,
hell
but
yes.
It was like, I take a bite out of it, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is the sweetest thing ever.
Uh-huh.
Like, it wasn't, I remember as a kid, it didn't seem like it was pure sugar. It seemed like it was... More,
you could take down 2 or 3.
Yes, but
maybe dip some in honey.
It was way too sweet.
It's very
but it is,
syrup,
my memories. The marshmallow fluff. The problem was if it was refrigerated, it would stick to the white bread in a way that didn't allow you to spread it
tear
properly.
The bread up.
That's
yeah.
exactly
so
right. I had to leave it out.
I learned
right.
over time. It had to warm
right.
up, or
that's right.
or you do it on frozen bread. And you actually spread it on the bread while it's frozen, and then you wait for the bread to thaw and then eat the sandwich. So there are a couple ways around.
Still hungry.
As a 10-year-old looking for a sugar sandwich at any of that kind of
That's
time
what
to wait
it's
for the
a
bread
sugar
to thaw.
Sandwich. It really is. Peanut butter. Peanut butter is great. You can just eat peanut butter. You know,
how about raspberry preserves and cream cheese? You ever do that?
No.
Yeah.
No. Just a big spoon and give that a shot. Peanut butter.
give that a shot.
Sometimes a spoon.
Yeah. All right, cream cheese and jelly sandwich, like a good jelly, whatever that expensive French one is with the red and white top.
It's got the spinny thing.
Yeah, it's got like a the cloth pinwheel thing.
Yeah. It's like $9. That is all
subjective.
We have to go eat now.
This is objective metrics.
What have you today?
Sage Rosenfels will whisper quarterback stuff in our ears at 10. Jeff Sullivan previews the World Series
and at jellies.
10:40. Anthony Herron in studio talking all kinds of football at 11. Paul Charchian will optimize the fantasy waiver wire for you at 11:40. We've got three chances at $1,000. We've got some Bulls talk, too, because
Boy.
Huh? Is this a circus?
Yeah. I mean, we were ready for it, but it's even worse than you thought. Yeah. The defense is so non-existent.
So bad.
There's not even an effort to just, hey, okay, go ahead. Don't let me get
hedge?
Away.
No, no, no.
It's almost polite. It's almost polite the way they let guys just...
To the rim?
Oh, yes, please. Oh, by all means.
Indeed.
Oh, pardon me.
My good man.
A curse upon me. It's a clumsy lout. I am standing here.
Crumple up a paper cup and throw it at a guy. You know?
Something.
some
resistance.
Or yell.
Starting for the Bulls at the four spot, this chair.
Yeah, it's bad.
Have a good show, guys.
We'll try.
All right, guys.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
Bears fans, we've got an incredible lineup of football experts on every Score show throughout the season,
including our show, McNeil and Parkins.
Afternoons 1 to 6.
Featuring Bears wide receiver Ellen Robinson, Mondays at 2.
Senior producer of NFL Films, Greg Cosell, Fridays at 3.
Super Bowl winning former head coach Brian Billick, Wednesdays at 5, and lots more.
So keep it on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute. As we count down to tonight's World Series opener, it was exactly 25 years ago tonight that the 1993 Fall Classic featuring the Phillies and the Blue Jays came to a dramatic climax with one swing of the bat. Nursing a 6-5 ninth inning lead, Philadelphia manager Jim Fregosi elected to bring in closer Mitch Wild Thing Williams to get the final three outs to force a Game 7. Joe Carter came up with one out and two on. Williams worked the count to 2-2 and then threw a low slider that Carter deposited beyond the left field wall for the second walk-off homer in World Series history after Bill Mazeroski's 1960 game winner. CBS gave me a tape of every camera, Carter recently told the Toronto Star, so I saw it from 9 to 10 different angles. His favorite angle? The one that shows his Blue Jays teammates celebrating. Now that's what I call a great teammate. I'm Boomer Esiason.
That Bears t-shirt isn't just a t-shirt. It's a badge of honor that shows the world who you stand with on game day. And you can get it for 20% less when you have a Chicago Bears PNC Visa debit card.
Visit PNC.com/Chicago Bears card for details. An annual fee of $10 will be assessed to the primary checking account associated with the card. Visa is a registered trademark of Visa International Service Association and used under license. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Holy underwear. Guys, we know that's what a lot of you are wearing because it's a hassle to buy new ones, but not at briefbuy.com. Briefbuy.com makes it easy and quick for you to get out of the holes. Shop Hanes, Champion, plus trend-setting new brands like Cool Clothes at briefbuy.com. And they're dealing. Buy three super comfy Cool Clothes breathable modal boxer briefs and get one free while supplies last. Don't wait. Shop briefbuy.com now. That's briefbuy.com to get the boys some air. Briefbuy.com is a Chicagoland Company.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to cardsforkids.com. That's cards with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids.
donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Bundle home and auto with Progressive and save on your car insurance. Excuse me, maybe we should add in the word money so they know that they're saving money. I'm just going to add that in there, okay? Yeah, hello? Just nodding at me. Okay, well, he's got enough buttons to push in there.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes. Warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank. Where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. And you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she-shear she-shed.
Can we stop saying she-shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Find out what's inside that church.
From producer J.J. Abrams, critics are calling Overlord a thrilling combination of action and horror. And now it's 93% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Overlord, rated R, in theaters and IMAX November 9th, directed by Julius Avery.
Did you hear the news? Metro PCS is now Metro by T-Mobile. Now you get new plans with unlimited high-speed data all month long. All on the T-Mobile network. Check out the new Metro by T-Mobile today and discover the smarter way to get unlimited. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. During congestion, the fraction of customers using greater than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. And Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video streams at 480p. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details and terms and conditions.
This is firefighter Rafael Porriette for Firehouse Subs, introducing the new Firehouse Pub Steak Sub with savory steak, crispy fried onions, and our rich Belgian beer cheese sauce. On tap for a limited time. Order yours at firehousesubs.com today. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax, participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
Tonight, join Lawrence Holmes and Lance Briggs for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show at the Edison Park Inn in Chicago. Lawrence will be live from 6 to 10, and Lance will join him from 7 to 8:30. Stop in to see the broadcast, enter for a chance to win Bears tickets, and take home score prizes. Brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Mitch reminds me of a lot of what I saw out of Tony Romo. Happy feet, wanting to run out of the pocket. Once he learned to stay in the pocket and learn the system, he became a pretty good quarterback.
That feels more right than I thought it would.
You're going to run Willy Wonka. Run an innovative bootleg out of Willy Wonka to the wide side of the field. You know, like, allow your quarterback to maybe utilize his legs or utilize his arm. Give him more than, you know, one option.
Hey, I'm glad you said that, Don.
I'm not saying there's just because he caught the ball at the one-yard line. What I am saying is that if he's worse than Josh Bellamy, there's a problem.
This has been a remarkable set of phone calls.
I'm struck. I am absolutely struck. There's some really good thoughts.
What the hell's going on out here?
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Indeed, it was a Bears Monday unlike any other.
I got to tell you, I went home happy, thrilled about my station in life, knowing that everywhere around us.
The use of the double meaning of station.
Thank
there.
You. Thrilled about the station and life, and just replete with the knowledge that Bears fans saw what we all saw on Sunday. It was quite a day. Quite an afternoon.
That was it was the equivalent of a no-hitter yesterday.
Felt real good. Kudos to you.
Yeah, outstanding.
Well done,
very well done. Bernstein and McKnight, caller. It's on record there. Said it. Sage Rosenfels is going to join us at 10. Jeff Sullivan at 10:40. He, the senior editor of Fangraphs, previewing the World Series. Anthony Herron in studio talking football at 11. Paul Charchin, 11:40. Three chances to win $1,000 with nothing more than just a lucky text of the special keyword as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. 312-644-6767 is the phone number at WSCR The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. Go there to listen to us live because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. You can text. You can sext. It's 67011. We appreciate it when you do. We did get a wayward text yesterday that I answered.
Did we? I missed it. I was just going to say it's been a while since we've had a wayward sext.
Yes, somebody was apparently texting the son or daughter regarding course selection and saying, what did you decide on your elective? Are you taking, I don't know, it was something. So I sent back a series of I said advanced sitar or something, and I was just explaining about the various elective courses
I missed that one.
Taking. That's the thing. Generally, a misdirected text or sext will always elicit a reply. So 67011, when you do send something, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK.
Indeed.
He's at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Do download the radio.com app. You have to do that to stream the score on your mobile devices. And you can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. There's watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live.
Hello.
That's if you want to see us.
Hi.
The cameras here, these little remote beauties, are directed by Brian Gertsch. Our producer's Jay Zawoski.
Well, you can't say I didn't have a good view of that freaking shot right there. Ridiculous. Booger, get out of the freaking way!
What was that?
I guess from the...
It's a fan mad that Booger's cart is in his view of the field.
How do you hear him so well? Is that just...
Someone posted the video.
Posted the video? That's fantastic.
The Deus Ex Machina is in between him
and... the giant machine. Meanwhile, did you see... There was...
Booger, get out of the freaking way!
Did you see... And maybe I just missed it on other Monday night broadcasts, but they are now showing the camera angle from... Have they done this before? From behind Booger? It's a shot that features the back of Booger's head, his monitor, and then the rest of the field. Three or four times they go to this shot, and Booger's talking while you're looking at the back of his head while he's watching the game.
I don't get it.
And I didn't either. I thought I thought I was like missing something, like there was a reason we were doing this. Goes back up to Tessitore, the general game shot. Tessitore says, Booger, from your view, what are you seeing? And then it goes back to the camera of the back of Booger's head. I don't get it.
Why do we reinvent things?
I am lost.
I think we know how to broadcast an NFL game.
Meanwhile, don't we? I think that broadcast is getting a little better.
On the board is Rick Camp.
These guys can't block a lick. This falls on Shermer, and it falls on his coaches. And to me, Barkley's blitz pickups have gotten worse.
Bits plicks ups.
Barkley's blitz picks up.
Blarkey's bits plick ups.
Been there.
Yeah. Mr. Mixtleplick can't pick up the Blarkey bits.
The Giants team is so bad.
Yeah, they're really bad.
It's so bad.
I don't know why it's fun when they're bad. It just is.
I'm not sure either. Maybe it's because no one's more funny to watch through the lens of ineptitude than Eli Manning. You know, just because of the way he goes down, the Eli Manning face that is just kind of always there. You've got Peyton Manning. You see this before the game. Peyton Manning's watching Eli warm up with a very quizzical look, leaning against the goalpost, you know, being the sheriff or something. I don't know.
Barkley's blitz picks up.
2 o'clock, and from the Chicago Wolves Update studio, I'm Connor McDoing.
Yep.
McKnight.
Been there. Oh, did I fix it at the end? See, nobody ever plays the full cut.
Because it's not as funny.
No one needs to.
No, it's not your best work, though.
No, it's not.
Nothing will top Diane Viciato.
I was just going to say, I didn't think that you'd remember the hitter.
Diane Viciato with a solar homo there.
At the wall, it's gone. A solar homo for Diane Viciato.
You remember what you said afterward?
No.
Is it much more energy efficient than those diesel guzzlings?
Did I really? That's pretty funny.
I thought it was funny at the time.
That's good on my part.
Finish the sentence, which I won't do.
I don't remember saying that. Different times, yes. But that was, hey, I watched the Bulls last night.
Wait.
In the back. Sorry. Yeah, I apologize.
First day box.
I throw myself upon the mercy of the throne of the executioner. He is Ray Diaz.
Tells you how tough it is.
Excuse me, smothered chicken all day, that player. All day. Oh, yes. That smothered chicken. Here, go up, smother it. Ooh, with a little gravy. Just a bit of gravy.
We got our first of the year.
Oh, my goodness.
That is Quinn Buckner describing Victor Oladipo stuffing the Greek freak.
That's Quinn Buckner reading a wayward sex to the show. That's what that is.
That smothered chicken. Here, go up, smother it.
That man is aroused.
That's his bit. It was Jan Mahinmi. It was the first smothered chicken gasm that I heard from Quinn Buckner. Do you remember?
Ooh, with a little gravy. Just a bit of gravy.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Oladipo got up on Giannis the other night, huh? Yep. Right, I missed that one.
He's allowed
to go back and watch that highlight. I thought I'd spun through all the NBA highlights because it's so easy to do, and apparently, I'd missed Vic.
Yeah. So the Bulls, my eyes are still recovering.
Yeah, maybe
from the Bulls.
Watch Giannis instead.
Yeah, my eyes hurt. My ass is itchy. I don't know what else is going on.
Well, Zach LaVine has some problems with you as well.
Causing some health problems.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Lunch plans tomorrow. The Chicago Wolves host a rare matinee game tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Allstate Arena versus Cleveland. Enjoy rolled-back concessions and free parking presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Kia dealers.
I'm sick of it, finally, Jones!
An 0-3 start again for the Bulls. They were dropped in Dallas 115-109 after 19 turnovers. Zach LaVine put up 34 points, and 19-year-old Luka Doncic scored 19 for Dallas. The Bulls host the Hornets tomorrow. LeBron and the Lakers lost to the Spurs 143-142 in overtime. L.A. also 0-3. The 4-2-2 Blackhawks get Anaheim over at the United Center. Game 1 of the Red Sox-Dodgers World Series at Fenway Park. Chris Sale, Clayton Kershaw pitching matchup. In the NFL, it was the Falcons over the Giants 23-20, and the Cowboys acquired Amari Cooper from the Raiders for a first-round draft pick. Join Lawrence Holmes and Lance Briggs for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show tonight at the Edison Park Inn in Chicago. Lawrence will be live from 6 to 10, and Lance will join him from 7 to 8:30, stopping to see the broadcast. Enter for a chance to win Bears tickets and take home score prizes brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked and most listened to sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com station.
Smith with 7 on the shot clock, steps back, cross court, Matthews, left wing, deep three, no, off the hands of Powell, collected by Carter, who lost it and turned it over, Doncic to the rim, up and good. Oh,
that was tough.
Yes.
Carter had the rebound, and he threw it away.
Yeah, all night. All night.
It was, that's what it is. That's what this team is going to be. That's kind of how we expected things to work. I know Zach LaVine said not controversial things, but just some things questioning the way everything worked in the fourth quarter. And that's to be expected when a guy as hot as he was for the first three quarters gets, what, three shots in the fourth?
You cannot, if you are this going to play like the Bulls play, you cannot lose the game where you hit 13 of your 23 three-point shots.
Which is to say what? I mean, because they shot 51% from the field, 51.2, 56.5% from three. They allowed 13 offensive boards. How different are any of these games going to look?
They're not. These are the ones you have to have. If you're going to somehow get to your 28 wins, And that's looking like a very steep mountain. Markkanen or
maybe
no
be the guy who bid $1 is all I'm saying.
Yeah, seriously.
I've chosen a different path. Well, let's do the Zach LaVine.
You want to do the sound here?
Yeah, you're right.
Because it was after Fred Hoiberg says they lost their composure and talking about defense and rebounding and activity, etc. And you can hear the question, but you can hear Zach LaVine's response to his own coach talking about their composure.
Fred said he thought you guys lost composure in the fourth quarter. Did you feel that out there?
No, not at all. You know, I feel like we got to run the right sets out there. I think that would have been the main thing. We ran the right plays, got the ball to the right people. I think we would have been all right.
But that's not what Hoiberg was talking about. He's talking about running the right sets and running the right plays.
Get the ball to the right people.
That means me.
I have to imagine it means him. Did you see him in the first half, first three quarters? Of course you did.
Get the ball to the right people means I'm paid, I score, get me the ball, this is my thing.
Yeah.
And that's not really what anybody was talking about. And it got deeper than that, too, because LaVine went in further, and you're going to have to help me here, get me in the mind of Zach LaVine.
I will try.
When it comes to...
Never hit shots like that.
So if I'm hearing this comment correctly... Having to actually execute a defense hurt their offense?
We're playing free. We weren't coming down and being stagnant. We weren't calling a lot of plays. We were just coming down being free, and we were aggressive. And then in the second quarter, I think we went to the blitz on their pick and rolls, and that mucked up a lot of things. I think we changed in the second half.
So their offense, they couldn't score in the second half because they were too busy blitzing pick and rolls on defense?
Is there a way that playing, like he says, playing a little bit more free springs you for perhaps more transition points, allows you to get out and run a little bit more if you switch, like, as opposed to coming down and setting up and then waiting for a pick?
And actually having to play defense.
I've kind of lost on that. I'll tell you this. There are going to be moments of friction between a head coach who ostensibly needs his team to play a little bit of defense and a team that can't play just a little bit of defense. I mean, even, you know, Justin Holiday, who's got somewhat of a defensive reputation, is coming out just flying by three-point shooters with no chance of breaking anybody down. And that's, if you're going to run someone off the three-point line, I don't know who else is, who can you ask to go do this? I don't know that that's even possible for them. So I've chosen a different tack, Dan. I'm choosing to whistle through the graveyard on all of that. I'm choosing now to watch this team from an offensive standpoint only. I'm letting go of any sort of need for defense. I have completely let it
go. What about outcome though? Where does outcome fit in?
Can it?
That's what I'm asking. This is your worldview.
I'm not saying I've baked this pie all the way through. Okay. All I'm saying is that I've realized after watching last night all three of these things. Listen, after watching the NBA, I don't know that defense really, as it comes in a regular season in the flow of 82 games, I don't know if it's going to matter one damn. I just don't see it mattering.
But if you lose the game when you shot 56% from three, if you can lose that game, you know, those are the ones you talk about your crazy shooting games. Well, the shots are falling, you win the game. Sometimes the opponent packs it in. There's never a reason against the Bulls for an opponent to ever think they're out of it when they can just get points whenever they want points.
No. I mean, Doncic, all he has to do is kind of dribble through the lanes, see who leaves him, and then either hoist a six-footer, you know, just a little teardrop shot, or kick it out to a three-point shooter on the corner if somebody actually stays with him. I mean, the choices were myriad for him all night long.
All right, I'm gonna hold to what you're saying. It isn't just defense and rebounding that's the problem. There are things going on offense that don't make sense either. And we have a Bull who's created his own new special children's show. I'll explain.
Okay.
After a brief timeout on the Score.
When Bears news breaks, count on us to deliver. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's home for Bears.
Did you hear the news? Metro PCS is now Metro by T-Mobile. Now you get new plans with unlimited high-speed data all month long, all on the T-Mobile network. Check out the new Metro by T-Mobile today and discover the smarter way to get unlimited. Metro by T-Mobile.
That's genius. During congestion, the fraction of customers using greater than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. And Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video streams at 480p. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details and terms and conditions.
So I have to admit, this is full disclosure, that when I knew I was switching over to an electric toothbrush, I was concerned that it was going to arrive and there was going to be this complicated setup and I was going to have to read all these instructions and try to figure everything out. And it was almost laughably easy when I opened up the box from Quip. And there's like this metallic bag, and I open it up, and there's a toothbrush in a case. And you take off the case, and it has like three lines of instructions. There's one button. It's already powered up, and it was so easy. I thought I was doing something wrong, but then I was up and running, and I needed an electric toothbrush because I was brushing too hard. It's bad for the teeth, bad for the gums. You get hypersensitivity and all that. And this has these sensitive sonic vibrations that do some of the work for you, and there's a built-in timer. Every 30 seconds, it pulses. So, okay, you move bottom left, bottom right, top left, top right, each its own self-contained 30-second thing, and then you're done, and there's no clutter, and brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, because so many of us are using bristles that are old and worn out and ineffective. And Quip has been designed by dentists and designers to be optimized here. You can brush your teeth the right way, affordably, and actually maybe even enjoyably. And I'm enjoying Quip. You can get it right now, a Quip toothbrush, for just $25. If you go to getquip.com/score, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. Your first refill pack free at getquip.com/score.
That Bears t-shirt isn't just a t-shirt. It's a badge of honor that shows the world who you stand with on game day. And you can get it for 20% less when you have a Chicago Bears PNC Visa debit card.
Visit PNC.com/Chicago Bears card for details. An annual fee of $10 will be assessed to the primary checking account associated with the card. Visa is a registered trademark of Visa International Service Association and used under license. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Holy underwear. Guys, if that's what you're wearing, you need to go to briefbuy.com. They make it easy for you to get out of the holes. And they're dealing with two great offers, 10% off Hanes, Champion, and more through November 4th, the day the clocks change. And buy three, get one free on the cool new brand Cool Clothes while supplies last. Shop briefbuy.com now. That's briefbuy.com. Briefbuy.com is a Chicagoland company.
Vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Critics are calling over 83% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Overlord. Rated R. In theaters and directed by Julius Avery.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
When we got the ball shifted side to side, when we had three or more passes, it generally resulted in a good possession. But, you know, only 18 assists tonight. We've been pretty good with that number the first few games. But tonight, we took a step back in that. A lot of that was isolation ball late in the third and into the fourth.
Fred Hoiberg, and I've got this new thing that I'm just going to call Jabari Parker's Magical Adventures.
Okay.
And
how magical are they?
Well, Jabari gets the ball, and then the world around him dissolves. And he's the only person in this world.
And we get to take this adventure with him, I assume.
And off you go.
Ah.
And you never know where Jabari Parker's magical adventures are going to take you. They don't involve anybody else.
Right.
and they involve maybe there's a little bit of harp music in the background, something dreamy.
Something kind of whimsical,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah, whimsical, like he goes off into the land of fluffy clouds.
Sure.
And he just dribbles to places.
I was going to ask, during this adventure, where is Dan the basketball?
It's in his hands.
Oh, he's got it the whole time?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, that's when the adventure begins.
I was a little worried.
There are no adventures without the basketball, but once he has the basketball, we welcome you to Jabari Parker's magical adventures. This week, Jabari is going to dribble in sort of a little question mark pattern, and he's going to get into the lane and then throw up a contested two. Sometimes it goes in. Sometimes it doesn't.
There was a possession last night where toward the top of the key, off to the right side just a little bit, moving from left to right, Parker's standing there at the key, you know, at the three-point line or so, and Campaign has the ball. He's bringing it up down the right side, and Parker's just standing there with his hands out, elbows bent, hands out like he's expecting to be given a box to carry, kind of, you know, like he's something with heft that he's going to have to hold. And he's looking at Payne, who's dribbling the ball, yo-yoing a little bit, and he gives it to Jabari, who stands there, appreciative that he now has the basketball.
Thank you. Time for my adventure.
This is what I'm supposed to have. Parker proceeds to stand there, looking around and surveying the land a little bit. No one's moving at all. No one's really doing anything. Campaign is, I don't know, kind of circled around him some. Parker takes two dribbles to his left, hands the ball off, and then nothing happens. There's a shot that goes awry. It's a miss, a defensive rebound, and then they go back down the other end of the court. That was the first episode I saw of, what are we calling it, Jabari Parker's Adventure Time?
Jabari Parker's Magical Adventures.
Magical Adventures, right. Okay, that was the first episode I saw. And I got to tell you, I'm looking for a little bit more to bring me back for a second episode. If Netflix is asking me if I need to continue watching this series right now, I don't know if I'm hitting the X button on the PlayStation. I don't know if I'm in for the second episode yet.
No, but this is, it's a little bit, a little Reading Rainbow, a little Great Space Coaster. That it just, I don't know what he's thinking once he gets the ball other than, I have the ball. Off I go. I have all my gear. I have my map. Maybe a little Dora the Explorer in there.
Sure. Right? There's definitely a second language being used that no one else seems to know.
Jabari. And there he goes. And then everybody can watch.
As curious as the magical adventure, as you put it, has been, you watched Zach LaVine in the first half?
He's a very, very skilled offensive player.
He's on pace to hit 30 a night. He probably won't be the rest of the way through. But I said it after the first one. We didn't have a show after the second one because it was Sunday, but I'll say it again. I'm very satisfied, at least in the early going, that man is as dangerous an offensive weapon as he's shown to be. Are there a couple too many my turn possessions? Yeah, absolutely. Are there a few dribbles across the lane where he picks a spot and just rises up for a shot without moving the ball? Yes. Yes, there are. But I think you can look around at a number of offenses. Maybe not the Suns, who have chosen to pass the ball more than anyone has chosen to pass the ball in the first three games. You know, maybe not a few, maybe like not like the Jazz, who move the ball a ton. But there are, on every offense, that guy. I mean, there's that guy. It exists
in
the NBA.
It's okay to be that guy as long as you understand you have teammates for a reason. And he may have also just cut his coach's balls off. Why does this keep happening to Fred?
I don't know. I don't know that he went that far. I think that was a guy who, for the first time in two seasons, had his game restored. And for a week now, three games, he's Zach LaVine again. He gets to be that guy. He is who he thought he was. He feels healthy. He's getting shots. He's putting up 30. And he only had three shots in the fourth quarter. Three shots in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think that's a guy who's frustrated and knows that he has one thing to do for this team, and it's score the basketball.
But he's allowed to do other things, is the point.
I don't know that he sees it that way. I don't know that anyone on that team, save Wendell Carter, sees it that way.
The 847 says the Jabari's magical basketball adventures. He says it sounds more like Frodo in Lord of the Rings, except the basketball is the ring. And there's another text from the 708. Says, I'm picturing this world looking more like when Frodo puts the ring on. Here's the thing. I don't know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, but I've never seen any of the movies. I read The
Hobbit.
Never
read any Tolkien?
I read The Hobbit.
Oh, well, that's a bad one to start with.
I played Dungeons & Dragons, okay?
Yeah.
We all did. Everybody played Dungeons & Dragons.
Sure.
It's what we did.
Who's this all you speak of?
Kids in the neighborhood.
And everybody read all the Tolkien books. I tried 3 times to read The Fellowship of the Ring. Three times.
It starts slow.
I get stuck at the House of Tom Bombadil, and I'm donezo.
That's about 150 pages in, maybe.
Every single time.
Well, there's 4 or 5 breakfasts they have to have before they get to the House of Tom Bombadil.
I get to that point. And it's
the
just,
Hobbit is a book about breakfast, as far as I know. As far as I can understand, it's
but
just about food.
Which is
eating.
Ideal for this show.
Mostly,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, I read The Hobbit because I felt compelled to, because everybody had just sort of what you did when, you know, I was in like fourth, fifth, sixth grade, that whole thing. But so I don't know. I know in general much of the legend of the stories and all that.
Well,
but,
you know, the ring possesses you. It brings out all of your worst qualities.
It turns you into Gollum eventually, right?
Eventually can turn you into Gollum.
Who was originally Smeagol?
Smeagol. Yeah.
Smeagol. I only know that from a crossword,
Led Zeppelin song.
I got it via cross. No, not Spiegel.
That's Spiegel.
Wait, Gollum was Spiegel
the whole time. That's the twist. What? You get to the end of Return of the King, and you're like, huh? I had no idea.
I mean, the vibes were pretty good.
Good right. vibes, babe.
Yeah, he got bad vibes, and he turned into Gollum. But I can't really picture that with you. But for me, it's a little more lighthearted than that.
Yeah, it's not quite as arduous.
No, Jabari's basketball adventures and more unicorns and you know pink ponies and clouds.
Yeah, you're not looking at Mount Doom at all. You're not seeing a crashing end to what otherwise is a hero's tale. I think this is kind of something that will be a little bit more whimsical throughout. The only disparaging thing here is the money you're paying him, the $20 million a year.
Who cares? Everybody makes $20 million a year.
Even that doesn't matter because it's the NBA and they print money every night. Every single night.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be helpful for the league, I assume, if LeBron's squad would win a game or two and the Lakers became, although maybe not. Maybe they're just interesting regardless. Maybe they will always be watched because LeBron is there, short shorts and all. Have you noticed this? I don't know that his shorts were as short as they were last season. I mean, they're a new style of tight and short.
That's the trend now.
It's very, very trendy. And you wear the it's probably not spandex, the compression shorts, just a little bit longer than the shorts. It's a very Fab
that's
Five kind of thing.
That's late 80s to have.
Pre-Fab Five,
pre-sort of Iverson era.
But it's not Stockton stuff. It's not the huggers.
No, I'm picturing
they're
more...
They're not boxer briefs.
I'm picturing more like Georgia Tech Lethal Weapon 3.
Oh, okay.
More like Kenny Anderson, Brian Oliver, and
yeah, that's a better feel. That's a better feel. I don't hate the look, but you can't have chicken legs. You can't be like me and just wear those things out there. Then you look terrible.
Or did you see the picture that was making the rounds of a young assistant coach, Bill Belichick? You see if you can find that on Twitter.
Bill.
You want the, you, that's how the shorts
what,
used
what
to
am
be.
I looking for? Those, short shorts?
Oh, those are the coaching shorts there. That's when you're really
there was
warm,
a lot of those
up.
In the, what was it, the 30 for 30 with him and Parcells?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're cut that high.
Yeah.
He didn't even cut them himself.
No, those are that's the way you wore
these
them,
These are
man.
Egregious.
Yeah.
And it's like looking at Steve Stone in a magazine.
Hey, that's a handsome man right there.
I'm not
there.
Saying it's not, yeah. But it's, I mean, that's the kind of cut we're looking at here. Wow, that's and he's got the shirt tucked in. What is it? I don't understand this. Was it something where, and you're a little bit too young for this, but like guys my dad's age, they played hoops in my dad was a good basketball player too in high school. But the shirt always has to be tucked into your shorts. When is it? Does that happen?
It wasn't
at a certain age for me.
See, what happened to me was it was my dad was a star tennis player in high school. And an avid tennis player, you know, college afterward, adult life, and really wanted me to play tennis.
Did it break his heart when you didn't play tennis?
I
because
tried,
when I got cut from freshman ball.
No, they put me through tennis lessons. I was always taking lessons. I never had a passion for it. I never really enjoyed it. And the shorts were so small.
Just
they were
and
so small.
And you're supposed
small.
To put tennis balls in
yes!
these shorts.
Yes, and it just, and everything was like, and the shirt, you're right, the shirt was kind of tucked in,
why,
and you're wearing a polo
why do you
shirt.
Tuck in
it was just so uncomfortable.
The shirt to your shorts. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the tennis shorts and the special
tennis. It's just
going
to keep
socks.
Coming out, and if you're supposed to tuck it back in, then it's just time spent and worrying, and it's uncomfortable.
The only thing I really enjoyed was the smell of the freshly opened can of tennis balls.
Oh, that's a top five smell.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's a top five smell.
Yeah, there's something about
it's one
it.
Of those. It's one of those smells where you say it, and even if you've never really played tennis before in your life, you know that smell. You're right back at that smell.
Yeah, I there are certain things like
it's like that and camp. Have you ever did camp?
Oh, the camp smell, the mildew, slightly mildewy lake smell.
Yep.
Yeah, that is absolutely immediate. When I set foot back at camp this year for the first time in 30 years, it's like, oh, well. That's
unfortunately, the other smell is your high school weight room. If you ever went, you never forget that smell.
No, it's
horrible.
Two-a-day soccer practice, the combination of grass and sweat and wintergreen from whatever Bengay or Flexol, it's that thing. And NBA locker room smell.
Yeah,
hockey
there's a particular
locker room smell.
You know, the other one is duct tape. That's another smell that you know the smell of duct tape. Everybody knows duct tape.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's actually some in the producer studio if you needed to get to it.
Well, is that what Jay just had thrown at him?
Yes.
Seriously, what is Kevin Zipak's deal?
He was never loved by anyone.
No, he lives for shtick.
It stays that way.
But he continues to never be loved.
He's so weird.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, putting tape on the handle of the door for no reason.
Yeah, he was doing it at the bar the
other
night, too.
He put plastic cuffs, like twist ties
on
the door.
He hangs out with Connor, Adam Harris, and Dennis Gambino.
It's,
you have no chance.
Pretty weird. But, willfully. Yeah.
But the whole, like, nervous energy weirdo stuff, like bite your nails or eat your hair or something.
No, we're all better off for the way he is now. I mean, he is just a one push away from really going to the dark side, I think.
Don't deface property. I mean, just odd. Like, when his brain goes on idle, he just starts, like, putting stuff on things.
It's, you live for shtick.
Was he like he was the kid in grade school that had his glue open, that would sit at his desk and make, like, dots of glue on his desk for no reason?
The kid who would pour glue onto his hand and hold his hands together for a really long time just to see if he could stick them together? That kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
That kid. But he's supposed to be grown out of that now, isn't he?
In the last month, he has dumped more than a handful of hand lotion on the Score phone that we screen calls on. That was a 10-minute cleanup. And then he threw a roll of tape at my head this morning after taping the door handle
plug
shut.
Plug you, too. He really got you.
Yeah, he got me right in the forehead.
Yeah.
I was filming him taping the handle, then he turned around and whipped it at me. And, yeah, he's really a great guy.
We were in a weird place.
I'm still all for it because now the person that goes at him about it is Shane. And now that it's management Shane, he gets so mad, but he kind of tries to hold himself down. It's a new level of entertaining.
Well, Shane can fire him now.
You know, does he have higher fire?
I don't think so.
Over Z-Pack, I think he does, doesn't
no,
he?
Doesn't.
He might be able to air check audio of the firing.
I love what the texters are doing here, by the way, trying to explain, say, regarding the Frodo Jabari Parker stuff. Just imagine someone wandering around in a haze, afraid of ancient king ghosts and the Dark Lord, and you've got Frodo with the ring on. It's a spot-on depiction of Jabari Parker with the ball. The 312 says, yes, the ring turns you into Spiegel and makes you sing parody songs. I'll watch that.
Well, I look forward to the next iteration of Jabari Parker, if that's the case.
I like it better when it's a little lighter and more childlike and whimsical in Jabari Parker's magical basketball adventures. Off he goes to where? We don't know.
We've got some football to do. Sage Rosenfels is our Tuesday quarterback. He covers quarterbacks for the Athletic Minnesota. He'll cover Mitch Trubisky next. 670 The Score.
Bulls fans, it's Chuck Swirsky and Bill Winnington. This is where you want to be if you want to run with the Bulls.
Right to the lane, the lead pass, Holiday with a left-handed dunk.
Listen to every game here. Plus, it's where Bernstein and McKnight talk Bulls Bowl. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she shed.
Can we stop saying she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
That Bears t-shirt isn't just a t-shirt. It's a badge of honor that shows the world who you stand with on game day. And you can get it for 20% less when you have a Chicago Bears PNC Visa debit card.
Visit PNC.com/Chicago Bears card for details. An annual fee of $10 will be assessed to the primary checking account associated with the card. Visa is a registered trademark of Visa International Service Association and used under license. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs, introducing the new Firehouse Pub Steak Sub with savory steak, crispy fried onions, and our rich Belgian beer cheese sauce. On tap for a limited time. Order yours at firehousesubs.com today. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax, participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every